Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another installment of the PVD Cast, the only podcast that's brought to you live and indirectly from Providence, Rhode Island, via the capital city of Columbus, Ohio. I'm your host, John Orlando, and man, oh man, it's cold and snowy outside. Hopefully, wherever you are, it's nice and warm. But I mean, ultimately, what are we going to do about the weather? Anyways, let's get into it. This episode, number 62 of the PVD Cast, is going to be an interesting one. I sit down with the comic creator, Max Inc. Now, Max has created several different projects over the last several years. Of course, probably many of you might know him from his series Blink, which was set here in Columbus. It was kind of just a slice of life type of comic. But he's got a new endeavor called Thinklings, which is a weekly web comic. And we're going to sit down, we're going to talk about comic books, we're going to talk about movies, and we're going to talk a little bit about one of the hurdles that Max has to overcome, because he has been diagnosed with bipolar disorder. And as I've talked about on this podcast, you know, I think that mental health issues are a very important subject, a very important topic that oftentimes is not discussed in our society. It's kept under the rug, so to speak. You know, there's not ever been a real serious conversation about it and how it impacts the hundreds and thousands of people that have some mental health issues, how we just don't deal with it in a very positive manner. So that's going to come into play too. So it's going to get really philosophical, and I hope you enjoy it. I also got to give a big thanks to The Laughing Ogre. As you know, in my previous installment of this podcast, I sat down with Gib Bickle, the man who used to own Laughing Ogre Comics and now works there. Well, he was nice enough to allow Max and I to come on in and use the back part of the store to record this very episode. And I appreciate that so much. You know, many, many times I've talked about some of the great people that have helped me with this podcast. And there's a long list of them. And I can add The Laughing Ogre to that list. And I'm proud to say that. And I'm happy for it. It's a hell of a store. If you need any particular comic book items, whether you're talking about action figures, collectibles, individual issues, current issues, back issues, whatever, stop by the store. They're over there on North High Street, 4258 to be exact, right in the Clintonville area. Man, you need anything, jump on over there. The staff is just super awesome. They're super helpful. They know what they're talking about, which is unlike some comic book stores. We go in and they have some high school employee of the week that has no idea the difference between Batman and Superman. So definitely check out The Laughing Ogre, you get the chance to. With that, I'm going to go into the interview with Max. Again, I think it's a very interesting one. We talk about a variety of different topics, some of them serious, some of them a little more lighthearted. And then we'll come back out of that conversation with another series of quick breaks. And then we'll be back here for me to wrap it up. And I have a very, very interesting Orlando's Faves and Orlando Hates. Oh yeah, I got a topic for Orlando's Hates that I have a feeling I may ramble for at least, well, I won't even say that. You know what? I'm going to ramble for a while on it. It's maddening, but I'm going to leave you in suspense. I'm not going to let the cat out of the bag, so to speak, or in this instance, let the dog off my lap, because that's really what's happening here at Casa de la Orlando. Archie, my good friend, is curled up on my lap taking a nap while I record this episode of the PVD Cast. So I know he's not going to say anything. He's content to just sit here on my lap. So with that, let's go to a few quick messages, if you will. When we come out of those, we're going to hear my conversation with Max Inc. Big Fun Columbus. What is that, you ask? It's simply the greatest toy store on the face of the planet. And it's right here in Columbus, Ohio. Shimmy on down to 672 North High Street in the Short North, and you can check out all of the various different toys that they have. If you listen to my previous episode of the PVD Cast, where I, John Orlando, did a complete entire episode from the store, you know that they got everything you could imagine. You need wrestling figures? They got them. You need McFarlane toys? They got them. He-Man? You got it. G.I. Joe? You got it. Star Wars? Legos, whatever you need, whatever you collect, they got it at Big Fun. And guess what? If they don't have something, they got a wish list. You put it on there, they'll try to get it for you. Man, oh man, you gotta go visit the guys and the girls down at Big Fun Columbus. Once again, they're at 672 North High Street in the Short North. You can check them out on Twitter at Big Fun Columbus or simply go to Facebook. Facebook.com/Big Fun Columbus. Check it out. Get down there for everything that you need in terms of collecting, or hell, if you just want to go down and relive your childhood like I did, stop on down to Big Fun Columbus and check it out. All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another installment of the PVD cast. I'm your host, John Orlando, and I'm sitting down with Columbus cartoonist Max Inc. Max, how you doing, man?
Oh, just swell.
Doing well?
Yeah.
All right, well, in the intro here, just a few moments ago, when folks first tuned in to this particular episode, I kind of filled them in a little bit on some of the stuff that you've been working on. But let's start with the thing that you're working on right now, which is Thinklings.
Right.
So do you want to describe what that is?
The 15-second description is it's existential comics for everyday people.
Okay.
I talk about the nature of making comics in the comic, and I use conversation between myself and my two comic book characters.
Okay. So it's a little bit of slice of life and a little bit of the struggles and the triumphs of doing this particular project, yes?
Yeah, yeah.
That would be a fair way to kind of summarize it.
It's not Scott, like Scott McCloud's understanding comics. It's more like understanding Max Inc.
Okay. Okay, all right. What was your inspiration for starting Thinklings?
Desperation.
Really?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, because you've done quite a bit of other things, and we'll get into those and whatnot, but so it was just desperation?
Yeah.
Were you desperate to try to just get some ideas out there and just start...
Ideas come no matter what.
Okay.
It was a matter of a feeling of desperation in terms of getting rid of my perfectionist nature.
Okay.
What artist isn't a perfectionist? Some. But be that as it may, when I started Thinklings for the first dozen or so comics, I simply created one page at a time, and I did it with a pencil and a ballpoint pen on a piece of paper. And it's like I took as little time as possible, and I did it as quickly as I could just to get it down.
Okay.
Scanned it in and posted online. I've tried to do webcomics in the past, but I'd always get tripped up in the details. And I think it's on the second comic of Thinklings, I write about that. I talk about it.
Yeah, as I did a little research there, and I took a look at the first, I'd say like four or five there. And I think it is the second one that you talk a little bit about the struggles of that.
Right,
you know?
Right. I mean, just all that I put into any comic that I make, it just kind of like those details... just bogged me down or whatever. So I thought, screw it.
Why'd you bring Blink and Sam into the comic? Like, as because, you know, obviously you created those characters for your other projects and whatnot, which we'll talk about, but why'd you decide to have them in this particular project as kind of the pals or the guiding light or whatever you want to call them? Because they kind of, I mean, we chuckled, but I've, you know, read several different ones where they seem to be the voice of reason, so to speak?
To a degree,
to a degree.
Yeah. there's sounding boards.
Okay.
I've been writing and drawing those two characters for over 10 years. And in many, I keep a journal, which is, and also in my sketchbooks as well. I've got conversations between me and my characters. And usually it's... my character, the Blink, she'll be supportive, and Sam will be like, buck up, art boy, let's get going.
Okay.
You know, she's the kick in the pants.
She's the taskmaster.
Right,
if you will.
Right,
okay.
Yeah. You know, the pat on the back rather than the punch in the gut.
Yeah. So, okay, we're going to jump ahead a little bit, and that's normal for this podcast.
Sure.
Where were the inspirations for Sam and Blink? Who were the inspirations? Are they one person? Are they like a mix of a bunch of different people that you know? Or how did you come up with those two characters?
So I think of reality, my reality that filtered through into the comics. A few months before Blink and Sam were created in April of 2003, I was hanging out with some girls every week, and we'd get together for dinner and watch Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Oh, right. Righteous.
Right. Man. Nice so stuff. We'd get, I'd go over to their house, and we'd have dinner, and then we'd watch Buffy.
You know what? Sidestep for a minute, real quick. That was a show that I jumped on.
Yeah.
Probably 6 or 7 episodes into the first season because somebody had mentioned it was, and I was like, I don't know, but I jumped into it and it was very well written. I mean, we could go on and on about it, but yeah, and then honestly, because I think that was the next day on that same lineup was Dawson's Creek, which I get made fun of, but for a while that was a very well written show too.
Okay.
Maybe I was not the target audience for it, but yeah, you know, it was pretty well written up to the few seasons in. I think season 4 is where it kind of jumped the shark, and I was like, you know. But nonetheless, yeah, Buffy's awesome, man.
It's very well written and great. So hanging out with real women, watching a show, and portraying some strong female protagonists, and comic reading wise, Terry Moore's Strangers in Paradise. A lot of people have pointed out that, you know, Blink and Sam have elements of Francine and Catchu.
Okay.
Which is fine, you know. I mean, that's cool. They did influence me. There's the yin and the yang. You know, got the sweet and the spicy.
Gotcha.
It's a wonderful play between them, and as I've gotten to know those characters and write for myself about their history, it just the friendship that they have is just a wonderful thing to behold.
All right. Yeah. Well, and again, I want to talk about Blink. We'll get back to it here. The final thing to have about Finklings is I like this quote that I picked up. I don't remember which one it was from what particular installment, but should-isms are shit-isms.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah.
Did you create that on your own or no?
No.
You heard that from somewhere else? Yeah. Okay.
All right. So we'll get into this.
Okay.
So should-isms are shit-isms comes from my therapist, William.
Okay.
Which I write about.
Uh-huh.
And in the first few sessions, he brought that up. And that comes from this fellow, can't remember what it was that he did, but Albert Ellis. I actually mentioned him in one of the comics as well.
All right. I'm going to be honest. I don't know. I'm completely ignorant of that name. But,
right. Yeah. Well, before I was seeing this therapist, William, I was ignorant about a lot of things.
Okay.
But he does cognitive behavioral therapy, and it has been a real blessing in terms of getting a better handle on dealing with the person that I am.
Okay.
And the idea of, whatever comic I make should be of this fill-in-the-blank caliber or whatever. It's like, that's the thing that I've learned with doing these Thinklings one at a time. Just like, do it the best I can and move on. Rather than having these high expectations and then, it should be this. Screw that.
Okay.
I'd like it to be
that way, but if it's not... Okay.
Right.
Got it. Well, now, one of the things that you have wrote about quite a bit in Thinklings is your therapist, William, and then some of the struggles that you've had
Oh, yeah.
With some mental health issues.
Yes.
Do you feel comfortable to talk a little bit about those? Or?
Yeah.
I know, to throw them out there within a particular piece of art, if you will, is a little different than talking about them. I mean, as we talked off air, and folks that listen to pretty much every one of these podcasts are, I don't want to say avid fans. That sounds pretentious. Hell with it. Avid fans of this podcast. Know that, you know, I have been very, very vocal about the fact that I think that in America we do an absolutely piss-poor job of recognizing and helping people that have mental health issues.
Right.
I think that what we do is appalling in the fact of the stigma of it still and the whole, as you mentioned, the connection between your mental and physical health.
Yeah.
I think we do an awful job of that. But anyways, I digress. So...
What it is that I deal with is called bipolar or manic depression. Okay. So, I'll go through these depressed states, and then I'll go through hypomanic states, which is just a sense of euphoria. And every now and then, there's elements of what an average individual would consider to be normal, or what have you. But so often, it's either up or down. And there have been two books, and I'm only remembering one of them. Ellen Forney, I think, she did a book called Marbles about her dealing with bipolar. And gosh darn it, there's other books too.
Yeah. Do you find doing Thinklings and including this aspect of your life in it, do you find it therapeutic? Does that help
you?
It does.
And actually, I've written, you know, these fictional characters, Blink and Sam and a few others, for years and years and years. Mm-hmm. And now utilizing me and the nonfiction elements of drawing me as a character, mm-hmm. and my thoughts, but mixing that with these fictional characters, but the words they say come from my mind, so it's like, is this fiction, is it nonfiction? It doesn't matter to me.
And I guess my question was gonna be, was it a conscious thought to include this aspect, or I mean, in your creative process, did it just happen one day where you were sketching out things, you go, you know what, I'm including some of my personal struggles in here, and that makes me feel good or bad or whatever, you know?
It seems like, natural.
Okay.
And also, you had said something about when you started this podcast a long time ago, mm-hmm. you had started with just you talking.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay.
And then, I'd like to have a conversation.
Right.
I feel the same way.
Okay.
I'd feel very apprehensive or whatever, self-conscious. If it was only my voice, but by utilizing the element of these other voices, so to speak, it's all my voice, but it's different implied perspectives.
Mm-hmm.
But it all either comes from me or comes from my environment.
Okay.
And I feel so much more comfortable. Like just bits and pieces, the comic format of just, okay, here's a little bit of dialogue, here's a little bit of dialogue, there's a little bit of dialogue. Currently, I'm splitting that in half, and I'm writing a journal. Like half of the comic page is a journal, and the other half is the comic. And
okay.
The journal part, where it's just me writing, is so much more challenging than for just writing dialogue.
Because again, it's just you yourself and I, so to speak, with the journal.
Right.
That is with you have... I get it.
Yeah,
I understand.
Yeah.
I understand exactly what you're saying in regards to that.
I really like the idea of bouncing things off. I mean, I learned so much more from the art of conversation mm-hmm. than from reading a book.
Has this been a controversial topic for your therapist? He loves the idea. I'm no expert on mental health. I have no background. Well, I just didn't know if he was supportive of that and saying, way to go, and this is a great avenue for it, or if it was maybe something that he said, maybe this, you know.
Well, when I started it, he really appreciated what it was that I was doing, but the first thing that I did when I started to see him 2 years ago now, mm-hmm. Was I brought in my Blink books.
Okay.
So he read those.
Oh, okay.
And so he was able to understand me in different levels than if he hadn't read the books.
Gotcha.
So when I started this Thinkling stuff, he enjoyed it, gave me good feedback just as a psycho analyst or whatever, but there was also the element of, well, this is great, but when are you getting back to Blink? Because I'm really looking forward to reading the next chapter. When I started, I didn't have any kind of awareness what I would finish, like how I would finish it or whatever,
okay,
how the story would play out, or if there was a story. Yeah. I was just doing it to do it. And now I'm up to the page 60 or so.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think it's like, I thought it was 59 or 58.
Yeah,
close enough.
I mean,
yeah,
I'm working on stuff ahead.
Right, sure.
And I think I've got a concept for how it's going to play out, and it might reach around 100 pages.
Okay.
Or so. And being aware of that is fine, but I really have learned to just focus on what's in front of me, mm-hmm. and trust that I'll figure it out. That's one of the big things that I've learned, rather than, well, let me just figure everything out first, you know. And
sometimes I find that's the best way to do it, you know. Yeah. even with different media, with this podcast thing, you know,
right,
there's sometimes it's just the best to just let's wing it and see what happens.
Yeah. So, yeah, the nature of improvisation.
Yeah, yeah. Have you had anyone say to you, wow, man, thanks for writing this because I am dealing with the same issues?
Oh, yeah.
You've had lots of people that have contacted you and said, great job, I totally understand where you're coming from, et cetera, et cetera?
Yeah, yeah. There have been a few people who have expressed gratitude. And
that's got to make you feel good, right?
I mean,
that you're, you know, not only right. representing what's going on out there in society for many, many people.
Right.
But I just talked with my hands, didn't I? That was ridiculous. This is a podcast. What
when?
The Italian in me is coming out.
Yeah, I was thinking.
I mean, you know, let's just say
I didn't want to, like...
That's okay. No, it's a,
in it.
You know, some stereotypes are true.
Yeah.
But anyway, so well, that's that. So you've had some outpouring of some folks that have said, great job.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No one has responded negatively, although one or two people have seemed to have attempted to extrapolate, oh, you've done this, so I'm going to assume and make assessments of me on what it is. And it's like, that's you, whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't
exactly.
care.
Exactly. All right, so let's go back to Blink.
Okay.
Okay, so Blink would be best described as a down-to-earth comic.
Oh, yeah.
Set here in Columbus.
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah. Set here in Columbus. And
what was the inspiration for it, if you don't mind me asking? Like, was there a specific thing, or was it just a bunch of different ideas that you kind of pulled in?
Well, before I did Blink, I was creating this crappy comic called Bolt. It was magic realism set in Columbus.
Okay.
The less said about that, the better.
Okay.
But it was set in Columbus.
All right.
That is the key element. So I was making a comic that was set in Columbus, but there is these fantastical elements. And okay. The comics that I had done before had these fantastical kind of stuff. And back in 2001, that was around the time that Blankets came out by Craig Thompson.
Oh, okay, okay, okay.
And I think there, Alex Robinson, Box Office Poison.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there were a couple of other comics that had that slice of life mm-hmm. element, which influenced the nature of creating. But Blink and Sam just popped into my head as characters.
Okay.
Like I say, they popped in April 2003. I didn't actually create a story with them until November of 2003. And it's just...
And I know you feature a lot of landscapes from
around
here.
Yeah.
I know the one that kind of perused through Mojo Lounge, I believe.
Yes,
was highlighted. That was the backdrop, if you will, the setting of that particular thing.
And it doesn't exist anymore. The Easton one at Easton.
Oh, is that the one?
Okay. Yeah, yeah.
I was thinking it was the one down on the short north.
And,
okay.
And yeah, no, there was one
at Easton. Yeah.
I've also done the Cup of Joe in German Village, which it's now a Stoffs.
Mm-hmm.
In the first story of Autumn's Playground, they're talking about being old, getting old, or versus living in the moment and whatever. But the playground that they're at doesn't exist as that playground anymore.
Wow.
As I'm creating some of these comics, it takes me a while to finish a chapter because some of them are like 30, 40, 50 pages long. There are times when I'll take photo reference and that institution either goes out of business or change hands or whatever.
It's bulldozed over in skyscrapers. Yeah.
It's like, well, I'm just going to leave it as that. So, you know, it's like, so people who live in Columbus, it's like part of history.
Yeah, you know, and kind of like something that parallels that is I remember post 9/11, there was a big to-do about, you know, any films that featured the Twin Towers.
Right.
You know, and I remember that indie filmmaker Edward Burns had created a film called The Sidewalks of New York, which they're predominant in one scene, and he was like, I'm not removing them.
Yeah.
I mean, why would I remove them? It's like manipulating history. It happened.
Right.
We're dealing with it. Let's move on, you know,
right.
and whatnot. So,
yeah.
Anyway, so...
Yeah, accepting reality.
Yeah, exactly. There you go. So, with Blink, it was a finalist for the Space Prize a couple of times?
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
Yeah,
it was.
That's it. That should be maybe on the Daily Knowledge podcast.
Huh? Right.
Anyways, but now, so you have So It Goes, and then you have So Far.
Right.
All right. What's the difference between those two different stories of Blink?
Well, So Far is that's stitched together pieces.
So it's more like an anthology, so to speak, or
yeah, sort of? Elements. Okay. I'm going to deal with this actually in Thinklings later on.
Okay.
And I equate a lot of aspects of the sequential art form to how music works.
Okay.
And
can you explain that theory for some folks listening?
Well,
because I'm even
all right.
I mean,
well, think of you hear a song,
okay,
and there's the music mm-hmm. and there's the words.
Yeah.
With comics, there's the image, which elements of music, and then the lyrics, which is the dialogue
okay.
and such.
All
right. And if you change one, it affects the other. So there's that. There's those basic elements. Another aspect is the feeling you get from reading the visual aspect of a comic. There's elements of how you feel when you hear music. And it affects... So if you got like a really, I mean, have you ever seen Fantasia?
Oh, the Disney?
Disney Fantasia.
Yeah.
A long, long time ago. Towards the beginning, there is a piece where they're showing like the conductor is mm-hmm. having the music being played and there's visual language being shown.
Okay.
While that music is played.
Okay.
And, yeah. Anyway, so that's one element. And again, like, I'm going to get into it a little bit more in Thinklings later on. But one of the things that I like is how, like, with so far, they're short stories. Some are 4 pages long. Some are 8. One's 20 pages long.
Okay.
And think of those as, oh, a 4-minute song, an 8-minute song, a 20-minute song, and you put them all together, and it's an album.
Gotcha.
Kind of like how we have these individual comics. Those are kind of like singles, and you put them together in a trade paperback, and you get an album.
There you go.
And you just sit down, and you listen to the whole thing.
Right. Okay. Right. That makes sense. That makes absolute sense. That it does. But, you know, I was like, wait, what? Okay. But, no, that makes sense.
And so with So Far, I just focused on creating each song, so to speak, each individual story. With So It Goes, I have the whole thing thought out. I have
would it be like a rock opera, so to speak?
Kinda, yeah. Okay. Or a novel.
Well, I was going with the music idea.
Right. Yeah.
You know, topical.
I don't know about opera, but but yeah, maybe Tommy.
There you go.
Not what is it? Peter Townsend Lighthouse or Lifehouse.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. No.
Right.
Let's be honest. Tommy's the only rock opera that's awesome. I mean, Quadrophenia is not very good. What was the one from Queensryche? Oh. Operation Mindcrime? Was that it? Uh-oh.
I don't know.
Uh-oh. I've stepped in it.
What about Pink Floyd? The Wall.
Oh, The Wall. Okay, The Wall. All right.
Yeah.
Look, I won't lie. I'm not a huge Pink Floyd fan. I don't know much about, you know.
Yeah, don't have to.
I forgot about The Wall.
Yeah.
That's why I got the angry look. I'm sorry. What?
Kilroy was here.
Oh, Sticks.
Sticks.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
More nostalgia than anything, but man, I love that.
Yeah,
I forgot about that. Isn't that the last Dennis DeYoung album? Because I think he went bye-bye.
Right, yeah. Yeah, but, I mean, the 70s was a wonderful time frame, like, period for creative music output, and that really strongly influenced me. So,
what's some of the other particular influences you've had, maybe through comics or whatnot? Because I know, you know, we talked quite a bit about growing up as a kid, what comics we liked and whatnot. So what inspired you?
Well, the first comics that I ever got into reading were Star Wars comics.
Mm-hmm.
And so the first illustrator that I saw on a regular basis was Carmen Infantino.
Mm-hmm.
I liked some of the design elements that Carmen did, but the way that he illustrated people just didn't really thrill me. But Walt Simonson,
yes,
what he did, oh my gosh.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I found Ron Frenz.
Oh yeah,
was he? And then Tom Palmer, whatever he inked, was gold.
Yeah,
for me. And so that kind of traveled over when I started to read superhero comics. Got into John Byrne, like lots of other people.
Well, no, my question: you had to be a fan of the Star Wars movies, obviously,
oh yeah,
and that's what led to the comics.
Yeah. So. Right. Yeah. I the first comics I ever made were inspired by Star Wars, Star Trek, Battlestar Galactica, Logan's Run.
Logan's Run. I just had a conversation at work about. We were talking about movies that should be remade because everybody was talking about how crappy, you know, crappy the remakes are. And I go, hey, there is one movie they should remake right now. I'm going to go with Logan's Run. And I had a coworker go, of course, because that would be a good one.
Yep.
I was like, it would.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. Man. How about Buck Rogers?
Oh, gosh.
Buck Rogers?
Yeah. A little too much, was it spandex? I mean, they did the sparkly outfits.
Yeah, there was a little. Yeah, there's a lot of stuff going on with that.
Flash Gordon.
Oh yeah,
80
yeah.
Queen.
Yeah. So, what's your opinion right now of going back to Star Wars real quick?
Sure.
So, what was your opinion of the first three and the last three, and then the ones that are coming out real quick?
Okay, so episodes 4, 5, and 6. 5's my favorite.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Right, and 1, 2, and 3, I was really looking forward to 1, and then I saw it, and it was like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
And then 2 came out, and it's like, all right, I'll watch it. And 3 came out, and I went to see it, and that was it.
Yeah.
I was just like,
Do you have high hopes for the new ones?
Yeah, actually. Anymore, when it comes to anything that I don't create, I table my expectations.
Okay.
And it's simply a matter of, I hope that, you know, such and such is gonna, you know, do well. Like the Disney movies and Pixar and that kind of stuff, like the creative people who are behind that, like, wow, they're really on their game. So paying attention to, okay, who's the director? Oh, who wrote it? Okay, who are those, you know, who's the camera people behind it? And paying attention to that stuff, sort of stuff, rather than, oh, who's starring in it? It's like, well, okay, that person is on screen, but so much of it is who are behind it to allow, you know, so...
Yeah, because there's got to be a vision.
Right, exactly.
I totally get what you're saying. I mean, being a movie buff, you know, there are certain directors that I will go see whatever they put out because I enjoy what their vision is. And sometimes, you know, some of them hits and misses.
Right.
You know, Christopher Nolan's a fine example. There you go. I mean, I'll just throw that out. I think Christopher Nolan has really not done an awful film yet.
Okay.
I mean, I really have enjoyed everything that he's done, even the Batman stuff, which has been which I think was phenomenal.
Yeah.
But, so to me, like, I get what you're saying in those terms.
Right.
That's where you have to pay attention, no matter who's in it.
And what is it? J.J. Abrams?
J.J. Abrams, yeah.
Is doing, and I wasn't disappointed with the Star Treks, but I'm not a fan.
Yeah. I was never a Star Trek fan to begin with. I was always Star Wars.
Right.
However, I do have a respect for Star Trek.
Yeah.
You know, I thought the first one was good.
Yeah.
The second one, I just didn't.
It was discombobulated.
Yeah,
And that's I think a challenge with that I think a lot of movies anymore have, and a lot of stories.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have a through line.
Right.
And they just try to be all sorts of different things to all sorts of people. And it's like, what's the vision that the creator has? And
yeah. I will say that I was a little hesitant for the Star Wars films. Though seeing the trailers, I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. I feel like I will go see them, and I will probably enjoy them from what I've seen. Again, if the trailers are any indication as to the overall. I mean, I know the trailer's a trailer. I understand.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I think I'm slightly looking forward
to it. Yeah, hopefully it'll just be fun.
Yeah, exactly.
And won't ruin anyone's childhood.
But see, I preserved the theory about with 1, 2, and 3. Like, there are kids now that's what they grew up with. Uh-huh. So for them, like, this is the theory that I've been told. For them, that is, like, that's the norm. So it has a soft spot in their heart where being older, you're like, no, that was not like, you know, A New Hope and Empire and Jedi.
Well,
you know, and I think...
It's not.
It's not, right. No, it's not. And I think that's something that I found that theory to be interesting. And actually, I'm like, okay, that makes sense, you know.
I'm perceiving it more along the lines of the way that the Bond films. Even though the Star Wars went out of sequence, Bond films changed as times changed. So you had the 60s Bond and Connery, and then 70s Roger Moore, and then 80s with the mix-up with, okay, here's old Roger Moore, okay, here's youngish Timothy Dalton, okay, here's Pierce.
Yeah.
Right, and how each one had their flavors, and now we got Daniel Craig.
Craig, yeah.
And I really like where they're going with Daniel Craig's stuff. One of my favorite pre-Craig ones was From Russia with Love.
Yeah, that's a good one.
It was just straightforward.
That is a very good one.
And nothing against, but when like there are a lot of people our age who grew up watching the Roger Moore Bond films, so that has that sweet spot.
No, it does. Yeah.
One of the first movies that the first Bond movie I ever saw in the theater was A View to the Kill. A View to a Kill with Duran Duran doing that.
Yeah. And that was Roger Moore, I believe. Yes, that's when they brought him back.
And that had Christopher Walken in it.
Yes, it did. That's right. It did. It did.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm trying to think. First Bond film I saw, I think might have been that too. Or it might have been, I think it might have been the quote unquote, not technically a Bond film.
Oh,
Never Say Never Again.
Yeah.
I think was the one that I saw maybe first. Yeah. So.
But in the theater versus watching it on a Saturday afternoon at home, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I get what you mean.
It's like the experience of seeing, and so like that music, that iconic music and such. And, you know, that's what Star Wars has become to, that iconic music and the nature.
Yeah, I just think that theory made sense and made me realize that I can't just go around and go, well, those sucked. You know, like, I get it now, and I understood when that person mentioned that, and I was like, you know what, that makes sense. I never looked at it from that point of view. I just looked at it from the crotchety old guy type of point of view.
Yeah.
The Statler and Waldorf version, if you will.
Yeah, and then we have the Muppet movies.
Yeah, which ones Yeah, well... That's true. We could spend a whole podcast on those as well. But let's go back.
Aren't we talking about comics?
Yeah. So you get a little hodgepodge of everything.
Oh, yeah.
On this podcast. So let's talk about a couple of other projects. So Super Zombie Girl?
Yes.
Do you want to talk about that a little bit?
Yeah.
Because I know you had a Kickstarter for that
particular
project.
Yeah, I did a little crowd source funding thing. So, Super Zombie Girl, as a concept, has been around for close to 10 years. So, the character Super Zombie Girl was created by my character, Blink.
Okay.
So, I've known, like, I've wanted to have a girl work with me in writing and, most of all, drawing this a Super Zombie Girl comic that can be printed and shown as being something created by Blink.
Okay.
So when people pick it up, it says it's written and drawn by Blink. I'm sorry, what did you say?
I said real quick, we're talking about Super Zombie Girl.
Right.
You were working with who?
So I worked with Liz Valesco
on
it. I met her at an Independence Day festival.
Okay, so she's local? She's in Columbus, Ohio?
Yeah,
okay.
I think she's actually just recently moved to California.
Oh, okay.
Good for her. But we got together on a over the course of a few months and built up a story that we just collaborated on the writing aspect, and she did the illustration, and I co-wrote it and edited it and put it together, and it was a lot of fun. And this was the first time that I've actually written something that I didn't draw, I think.
So, where's the status of the project right now? Is it?
Oh, it's finished. Anybody?
You can get it on your on a
Store.
Page or
Store Envy.
Store Envy. Okay.
Yeah.
All right, we'll talk all about that stuff there, because I know you have a couple other things available on Amazon and all that jazz too. So.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's go back a little bit too, because I know you mentioned when we talked earlier, and I didn't jot it down, one of your other particular titles that was quite successful back a few years. Do you want to talk about that or no?
Amoeba Adventures?
Yes, Amoeba Adventures. Thank you.
With Prometheus, the amoeba. Yes, and his team, the All Spongy Squadron.
So how did you come up involved in this project?
Yeah.
'Cause it wasn't yours. You kind of helped out with the artwork. It was written by another gentleman, correct?
Yeah, it was created by this fellow, Nick Durga.
Okay.
And he had put out an announcement, an advertisement to contribute to this anthology, or this, not any, he did a book where he wrote the entire story and he had different artists write or draw pages from it. So I participated in that, and he really liked how I illustrated his characters. So he was at issue number 10 or so at that time. And so I jumped on board and illustrated number 11 up to number 26. And so he wrote the stuff and I drew it. And we really did a lot of people enjoyed it. Tony Isabella actually put it on his top 40 list.
Wow.
1 year.
Wow.
And it was the only small press book.
Nice.
That he did that for. Got a lot of good press. Dave Sim, of Cerebus fame, I drew an illustration of Cerebus and Prometheus and this character Rambunny. Okay, and so two Amoeba Adventure characters and Cerebus, and I wrote him a letter, and Dave published the letter in Aardvark Comment and Trivia. So it was issue 181 of Cerebus that this appeared, and in the book, Cerebus appears. This gets very meta, where we see Dave Sim drawing the Cerebus page, and we see Cerebus without his gray tone.
Really?
In the comic, or in the drawing that I did, Dave points out Cerebus missing his gray tone. So it's like, oh boy, wow. Whatever. Synchronicity or just like meh.
Alright, well let's go further back, because I know one of the things that you mentioned is that as a kid you loved to create your own comic books and you kind of were self-taught. So
yes,
as you went through high school and whatnot, I guess the question I'm stumbling over is, did you go to art school, I guess, or some type, or are you still just
self-taught?
The same self-taught dude you were oh so many years ago.
Right. So I started making comics in the late 70s, science fiction and then superhero. And I wrote and drew my own comics in while I was in school and when I got home from school and whatever. By the time I graduated high school, I had written and illustrated over 2,000 pages worth of comics, and they all sucked. And again, by the time I graduated high school, that was in 87, comics were still very much a maligned art form. And
oh, yeah.
I did not want to learn how to illustrate for like some advertising or design, or I just wanted to learn how to make comics, and the kind of comics that I wanted to make weren't exactly the kind of comics that the only comic school was the Joe Kubert school
in New York City.
Yeah. And that wasn't really my thing. A combination of that and I didn't have money and other real life stuff.
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
And I had taken some classes at CCAD.
Mm-hmm.
Art school was not my thing.
Right. Which I'm not saying that it's a prerequisite for anything. I mean, I didn't go to broadcasting, you know, when I was a guy. I mean, I didn't, you know. So I think that's. That's something to be admired, I think, personally. Yeah. It's when somebody has a talent, whether it is illustrating or whether it is whatever that talent is, and, you know, if they've self-taught themselves, I find that to be more inspirational than if they went and, you know, had formal training with it, because I think it's a tougher thing to kind of do.
Yeah. My skill set is kind of refined, or...
Has it refined over the years, and it's gotten, you know, obviously better?
Oh, yeah.
There's
things
that you do now that maybe you did not do so well before?
Right, yeah. with a name like Max Ink, you'd think I'd be a good inker, but I feel that I've always been a better penciler than I've been an inker, but I'm getting better. I sent my work back in the 90s when I was doing Amoeba to Will Eisner,
mm-hmm.
and he sent back a handwritten reply.
Oh, wow.
And he said along the lines of, nice stuff. Chill on the cross-hatching. Don't be afraid of the black. and I'm still working at that.
Okay.
I've definitely lessened up on the cross hatching. But yeah. I'm also like I don't use mechanical pens the way that I used to. I'm using more brushes.
Oh, really?
Okay. And
what, why the change? You just like the way that it looks better? It works. You can work with it more effectively, or
I'm getting less scared about making mistakes.
Okay.
Which is one of the things about with the mechanical pens. You don't have to worry about how hard you press down, because it's going to be pretty consistent.
Yeah.
With a brush, you got to be very careful and very cognizant throughout. And every now and then it's like, oh man, I didn't want to do that mark. And now I'm getting a lot less, the shoulda.
Shouldisms are yeah. Shitisms.
Right. Yes.
All right. Well, let's start wrapping some things up here. We're almost up to about 45 minutes or so here. So you have a particular place where some folks can get your stuff?
The current go-to place for all things Max Inc. is Max Inc. with a K. .tumblr.com.
Okay.
Right. And there's links to the Thinklings.
Yeah, and there's the link to Amazon where you can purchase the blank books.
And there's a way that you through there that you can get Super Zombie Girl, which is just a fun little book. Yeah, currently that's what I've got going on. And yeah. And you know, you can just follow it and see whatever it is I come up with. I'm taking a brief hiatus in February from making comics so that I can do some commission pieces and raise some money, pay my rent.
Yeah, you know, yeah. I mean, that's money is it's the stumbling block for a lot of things, man.
Right.
It really is.
Yeah, the comics don't exactly pay the bills, but now I've got this Patreon.
Yeah, which I was going to talk to you about that. So, right. I told you, I just learned about it today. You want to fill in the folks that are listening as to what is Patreon?
So, Patreon is similar to Kickstarter and Indiegogo, but instead of it being instead of a person creating a project that people fund just the people. And it's on either a monthly basis that you pay or per project. So some comic book people get paid per page that they make.
Okay.
And some get paid per month. And I've gone the month route, because on a good month I can make 9 to 12 pages.
Okay. All right.
And there's perks that you get.
Yeah, just like anything else, Indiegogo or the Kickstarter or whatnot. And I believe, just real quick, if anybody's listening at home, it's Patreon.
I think that's
right.
Yeah. Yeah.
.com. Yeah. I wrote it down because I was like, I don't know how that would. If I heard that, I wouldn't know how to spell that. So, so definitely check out the Tumblr. I mean, you know, check out Thinklings. Again, Max Inc. with a K, .tumblr.com. Mm-hmm. Max, thanks for coming on, man.
Thanks,
it's been fun. So,
yeah.
You know, we'll have you back sometime.
Cool.
All right? You got it? All right, with that, folks, I'm going to throw it to a quick break, and then when we come out of the break, I'm going to wrap things up.
Web hosting services for the PVDcast provided by Bluehost. Check out Bluehost.com for more information. The PVDcast is also available on Stitcher Radio. Head on over to Stitcher.com for all the details on how you can get Stitcher Radio. All right, there you have it, folks. My conversation with Max Inc. I hope that you found it interesting. I hope you found it intriguing. I hope you found it entertaining, enlightening, whatever adjective you want to use. I must confess, I think it was a really fun episode to do. I got to go over to the Laughing Ogre just a little bit earlier than the scheduled time in which we were going to record the conversation. And just meeting Max, just really nice guy, very talented guy, and just I had a lot of fun doing it. And that's what this is all about, this podcast, is having people come on, talk about what they're doing, fostering that independent spirit, and having fun, bottom line. Because if it's not fun, then, you know, I wouldn't be doing it if it wasn't fun. And definitely check out Max, maxink.tumblr.com. That's where you can catch Thinklings, as he puts one out about every week. And again, it's very open, it's very honest, it's very unique in the realm of web comics. So I encourage you to check it out. And of course, you know, while you're on his Tumblr, you can look at all the other things he's got going on, past and present. And definitely, you know, you get an opportunity, you want to check out a really cool slice of life comic, I would pick up a copy of Blink, one of those two books. But with that being said, let's get on into... There you go. Can you hear the music? There you go. Orlando's Faves! Alright, so ladies and gentlemen, my fave for this week is a restaurant. It's a restaurant that I have gone past a million times here in Westerville, Ohio. Never checked it out until this past Sunday. There's a small little restaurant called the Pancake House on Schrock Road. And I've gone past it several times. It's been open for about, I want to say, 6 years, I think. 5 or 6 years. Never have gone in the place. Because it, quite frankly, if I may be so crass, it looks like a little bit of a dump. Okay, it's small, it's not really, there's nothing that catches your eye, but I went there Sunday, and let me tell you, it is A, not a dump, it is probably the cleanest diner I have ever been in, and I would classify it as a diner style of restaurant, but man oh man, was the food excellent. The breakfast was superb. It wasn't too pricey either. I mean, man, it was, and the service was awesome. I mean, I'm telling you right now, you need a good breakfast place, the Pancake House on Schrock Road is the way to go. I mean, that is my fave for the week. I can't wait to go back there this weekend and maybe have breakfast again because it was awesome. So that's my fave for this installment of the PVD cast. And now I have what will probably be a very fiery edition of Orlando Hates. I, this past Saturday, being it's Valentine's Day, committed to my girlfriend of going out to dinner and then catching a movie. And what movie, you ask? Well, it's the movie that everybody else saw this past weekend, 50 Shades of Grey. Man, oh man, I can't tell you what a heaping pile of crap this movie is. I have not seen a movie that was so poorly acted and so poorly written in a very long time. Here you go, folks. When your target audience is middle-aged housewives, okay? And the theater was packed with middle-aged housewives. And as you watch these two characters interact with each other in the most awkward and unnatural way possible, by the way, I mean, not to discount the actors involved, but really, honest to God, the dialogue was so unnatural. I've never heard anybody talk like this ever in my life. But nonetheless, you have a theater full of middle-aged housewives whom this particular book and movie are targeted towards. After every piece of dialogue, they snicker, laugh, and giggle, when it's not supposed to be funny, by the way. That ought to tell you how bad the film is. Man, it was an abysmal 2 hours of my life that I will never, ever get back. Luckily, my girlfriend agrees with me that it was an awful movie. She then went on to tell me that she actually did read the book and said the book is pretty awful, too, so I guess she had a little inside knowledge that I didn't have, that what I was going about to see was craptastic. Overall, it's not worth the time, effort, or money to go see it. I wouldn't even waste time if it came on like USA Network in 3 years. I wouldn't even watch it. But there you go. That's my installment for Orlando's Faves and Orlando Hates. Well, what do you know? For what many of you cannot see is my partner here, Archie, has decided to wake up from his nap. Yeah. Well, anyways, since he's now up, I'm sure I'm going to have to let him outside. So let me wrap up this edition of the PVD cast and letting you know where you can get in touch with me. Well, you can get in touch with me by going over to Twitter and following me at PVDMVP. That's the same username for Instagram, PVDMVP. You can shoot me an email, johnorlando@pvdcast.com. Hey, I'm going to say it one more time. Don't forget to check out Max Inc. That's maxink.tumblr.com.
And with that, I'm going to close up shop, let this guy go outside and use the bathroom here. Right, Arch? Really, not even one bark, huh? Okay, with that then, I'm going to leave you guys. I thank you for listening, and I will chat at each and every one of you later. See you, folks.